There's a new gallery in town, and my guest today is Kimberly Vanacek, editor-in-chief of the Art Avenue magazine and owner of the new Art Avenue Gallery. Hi, Kimberly. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Thank you so much for having me today.
I am so excited that you're here, that you took a chance on our town, and that you brought an art gallery.
Oh, my gosh, right? I mean, who would have thought? I really honestly never had intended on having a gallery. It just fell into my lap when some friends of mine introduced me to the family of an artist who had passed away a little bit over a year and a half ago. And this artist's work had been hidden behind closed doors in his own house for over 20 years. And I had a new office in the Arts District, obviously in Union Plaza, and my walls were empty. And I was thinking, why does this not make sense to have an art gallery now and to show on my first exhibit this incredible work of Francisco Lascurain Lavadie? And his work was so powerful and colorful to me that it just put everything in the making to have a gallery, to be able to expose the talent, not just in a printed format for the magazine that I originally started out, but now there's a greater vision, and it's just amazing. But no, I never had thought this was what I was going to be doing.
So let's backtrack, because this whole thing starts with a magazine, the Art Avenue magazine.
It does start with an Art Avenue magazine a year and a half ago.
And can you tell us more about it? I mean, it's definitely, it's gorgeous to look at, and I suppose it's because it is an arts-based magazine.
Yes. What we wanted to do was to help promote the arts and have a platform specific for the arts. So it gives the artist a platform to showcase anything from architecture, cultural, to performance and visual arts. What we wanted to do was to be able to showcase artists that haven't really had that platform to communicate their work effectively to the community. And we really wanted to focus on local artists, Epaso, Juarez, Las Cruces, and Chihuahua. Some of the artists, yes, we've put in the magazine that may be from New York or from another part of the country, but their roots are still here. They still come back here, and they still have a connection in the art and culture community here. But we wanted to showcase El Paso artists and let others know we are a viable art community that needs to be recognized.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, I remember, you know, reading everything, and you don't discriminate. You're right. You write about writers, visual artists, performing artists, like you said. Is there anybody that's kind of blown you away or maybe thrown you for a loop in doing, you know, what you do?
Yes. I think Francisco Lascurain, his work was so incredible because he started out as an architect in Mexico and was probably 30 years before his time in the architectural world. And when he moved into the States in the mid-80s, he couldn't practice architecture anymore. So he wasn't licensed. Imagine you're coming into the States in your mid-60s and you would have to go back to school to be an architect. So he basically didn't design anymore for a very short amount of time. And he picked up a paintbrush and started painting. And because he didn't believe that the community would receive his work, because he painted urban workers of Mexico in the 30s and 40s. And they're bold and bright and just so dynamic. But he didn't think anyone would appreciate them. So he kept them on the walls in his house. When I went into the family's home and I saw his work, I couldn't speak. I was just ingesting everything. I think with his work, it's so bold and it's so prominent and it's so paying homage to how the Mexican culture really was back in the 30s and 40s and how pristine it was, but yet how open it was. Wayne Hilton. Oh, he's...
Oh, the Hermosos Huesos.
Hermosos Huesos. His project, Hermosos Huesos, is probably one that is growing on every facet. He started out with a line of Katrinas that pay homage. He was actually inspired by creating by Posada, and he was a political satirist in Mexico. So Wayne developed a line of Katrinas that he was inspired by pieces of Posada's work. Then he took that to another level, and he made larger scale life-size pieces out of everything's recycled, the materials. That's why I think he's so dynamic.
I think it's important, too, that people know that he does every single piece. So the original Katrinas were maybe, what, a foot and a half tall?
Mm-hmm. They were maybe about a foot and a half tall.
And that was incredible detail. I can't believe he made them into life-size dolls.
Yes, yes. I think we calculated over how many hundreds of thousands of hours that he has put into the detail, hand beating each element of each Katrina. And what currently on display in the Mulvane that runs through the end of December. What's so nice about Wayne is that he took that to a different level and added multidimensional components to that. What's really good about Wayne Hilton is that he's helping put El Paso on the map, that artists here are really good quality artists. And his work is in another museum outside of the city, outside of the state, and in a great museum in the Mulvane. So I think artists like that are helping to put El Paso on the map. Gosh, of course you have Rochelle as a designer, former UTEP professor. Her design work, her jewelry, her colors, you are always excited every time you see one of her designs because no two are different, and each one has its own purpose. The earrings, the jewelry, the necklaces, you want one. You want all of them.
Absolutely. We talked to her recently, and that's all I could think. How do I get my hands on one of her pieces?
Right. And that she uses so many different elements in her design. Those are three, I think, that really have hit me lately. There's so many talented artists, I think, in terms of a visual art. Then, of course, as far as performance artists, oh gosh, we have such great talent that comes through for the symphony, for the opera. Gosh, the opera's really taking off. They've been having some wonderful performances, upcoming Tosca in the spring. David's running a really good program there.
Where does your passion for the arts come from? Are you an artist of sorts, or where does this?
Well, I'm a former UTEP graduate, so I was in classes here, and I remember I loved art classes. And when I moved to a different college, to a different city, I had an argument with one of my professors, art professors, who wanted me to just love Picasso, and I had my own thoughts about Picasso, and she didn't like my thoughts, and it just kind of blew it for me for art for a while. But then I had an opportunity to come back and to use my journalism skills and use some of the people that I know in the community, in the art world, and kind of connect the dots to put this together. So I really get passionate when I see the talent that we have and the inability we had to portray them. So I really love being able to show their work and connect them with other people in the community. It's amazing. The magazine's working nice. In that aspect, I find out that there are people in El Paso, then they go buy their work, or they connect with them, and then they get involved in other projects. So I think it's been a really nice networking art magazine.
Absolutely, absolutely. And where can people get their hands on the magazine?
The El Paso Museum of Art sells the magazines currently. You can find us in any of the other museums and galleries throughout downtown, some of the restaurants downtown as well. East and West, obviously, in certain locations, you know, restaurants, hair salons, really. It seems like everywhere you go, doctor's offices. So if you can't find it in your local cleaners, then definitely go to the Museum of Art or come see our gallery at 518 West San Antonio.
Okay, so back to the gallery.
Yes.
Here we are. You opened up recently, and you have your current exhibition. Now, I want to try to connect the dots. So what came first? Were you in this family's home to do a story about the artist, or how did that...
LaDonna Apodaca said, you really need to see this artist's work. And I didn't get the whole story when we spoke, so I thought I was going to meet the artist. So I went to the family home, and I'm surrounded by all of the artwork on the wall, only to find out that the artist had passed away the previous year. And the family didn't know what to do with this artwork. They were about to just sell it off, the pieces. And these are originals. And they were about to just sell the art because they didn't know what to do with it. And I said, oh, my gosh, no. Don't. There was a guy coming the next day with a check for one of the pieces. And I said, no, don't sell it. We need to exhibit and show your work right now. Of course, you can have some copies.
Of course, you can sell it later.
Yes, we can sell the originals later. Let's exhibit and then we can sell some copies right now. So that's how it started. And that was the catalyst for me, for my first exhibit, to open the gallery, to be able to have a place to show. And why not? So we work in the gallery. A studio, working space, gallery. And it seemed to be really receptive. We had an incredible exhibit opening night, and we've had really a lot of good a feedback from that.
Now, I know that there's something about the hands in these paintings. Can you tell us more about that?
Oh, yes. It's amazing. I think every artist has their own statement in the paintings. But what he wanted to do is inject his own hands into the paintings. So as time went on, and as you get older, you notice, oh, there's your hands may get fatter, or your fingers are chubby, or your hands get scaly and dry. What he was doing was injecting his own hands into the paintings as he started to paint over the years. So in the beginning of his paintings, you will find soft shading, very soft hands. And then as his work progressed, as time progressed, as he became older, the hands became more engorged, enlarged, and a little more rough, to where his last piece called El Chino, the hands are almost non-recognizable. So you can also look at it from the fact of an urban worker who works and labors so hard with their hands all day long, and they get calloused and rough and dry. So there's two different ways. If you want, from his perspective, those are his hands as he's getting older. Or from the fact that, in all seriousness and realization, that as you do get older, your hands metamorphose. And he was, you can see that as you see the dates of all the paintings.
And the colors, I mean, they're intense. I don't, it's, everything's bold and bright and this dark outline. What do you think that's about?
Well, the warm and rich colors that he uses, the oranges, the blues, I think it just goes back to the brightness of the heritage and the culture of Mexico in the 30s and 40s. It wasn't a lot of black and white. It was very vibrant.
Life was colorful.
Exactly. Life was colorful back then. And so I think that's what he was trying to capitalize on. And everything he painted, painted from memory. And every person that is in one of his paintings is someone that he knew on a personal basis.
Wow. To remember their faces like that.
Yes. The bartender, even. He went back like 40 years
later.
Wait,
nobody forgets their bartender. Your bartender and your hairdresser, they're in.
You're always going to remember the bartender, especially and the hairdresser, yes.
So tell us again, the address, hours, and how can people see the works? I don't want to butcher his name, so if you don't mind helping us out in that department.
Sure. Francisco Lascurain Lavadi, his exhibit called Heritage, is at the Art Avenue Gallery, 518 West San Antonio, Suite F. Our gallery hours are Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 5, Saturday from 10 to 1. And if you'd like to schedule a private appointment, please do so by contacting us or reaching our Facebook page at the Art Avenue or Art Avenue Gallery.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me today.
My guest today has been Kimberly Vanacek, editor-in-chief of the Art Avenue magazine and the new Art Avenue Gallery.